What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk podcast is here. It's been a pretty wild weekend of football. We learned a lot. We saw a lot. We saw some good coaches make really terrible decisions. It was a fun weekend, and don't you worry. We're going to spin that all the way around to the Redskins. Everything that happened on divisional weekend could have something to do with the Skins, so we're coming your way with all of that. As always, I got my dude Rich Tandler here. Tandler, what's up, man?
Hey, doing good.
We're going lean today. You know, the office is closed. Not a lot of folks are around to celebrate the Martin Luther King holiday. So it's just me and Tandler. Pete is here, but Pete knows he's not allowed to speak. He's on a week-long speaking probation. But I think Pete set me up with internet in the office, which is pretty big because I am here in the NBC Sports Washington podcast studio. Tandler, you tell everybody where you are because everybody knows where you are.
I'm sitting in my Lazy Boy recliner at home.
Oh, my God. That doesn't frustrate me at all, Rich, let me tell you. But I had to come in to do Redskins 100, which should be a pretty cool episode, Tandler. I don't know if you saw, and I know the podcast will probably be out after the show, but they re-aired a bunch, so folks should try to find it. It's going to be me, Chick Hernandez, Santana Moss, and Joe Jacoby. So that's some variety of Redskins eras, but some really good players are going to be sitting in with us. It's pretty neat, don't you
think? Yeah, a couple of the all-timers.
Who was a better player, Tandler, Jacoby or Santana?
Jacoby.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was in there, and I don't want to say he won Super Bowls, but he was an integral part of three Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. Well, and Santana...
You know, it's a completely different thing. It's kind of an apples to oranges comparison. I mean, Santana did his thing. He probably certainly didn't have the supporting cast that Jacoby had.
Right.
But if I had to pick one of them, I'd say Jake.
I'm going to try to grab Santana for a podcast for later in the week. One question I have, it's so tricky with receivers because I wonder, you know, Santana Moss and Reggie Wayne are really close friends. They played together at Miami. If Santana lands in Indy with Peyton during that stretch where he was just outrageously great, I wonder what Santana's career would have looked like, you know, instead of playing with Chad Pennington and Mark Brunell and Todd Collins and, you know, Jason Campbell and just a ton of relatively bad quarterbacks.
Pat, don't forget Patrick Ramsey.
Patrick Ramsey.
John Beck, Rex Grossman.
John Beck, yeah, oh, God.
He got a little bit of RG3. He had eight TDs that year.
He could have one of those Brown-style T-shirts made.
Of the QBs he worked with.
He threw passes to him.
Pete, you're so young. Who's the worst Redskins quarterback you've seen play?
My first memory is Shane Matthews, and then I think there's some Danny Werfel in there, too.
I think John Beck was worse than them. Werfel was pretty bad. Tandler, who's the Redskins' worst quarterback, you know, of the last, since Rippon? Who you got as their worst QB?
Tony Banks. I keep on thinking Tony Banks, but he wasn't that bad. I have to go with Beck.
Dude, I don't think Tony Banks was that bad.
Yeah. That's who I think of, but, and then we can take Jeff George also.
He was bad. Didn't Marty just cut him?
Marty, he fired him. he had a bad, you know, it was awful in the first game. And Schottenheimer just, he didn't demote him to second string. He went from starter to out. I don't think he ever played again.
I got a fun one. In 2003, Tim Hasselbeck started 5 games for the Redskins. That's pretty low on the list.
Yeah, that's a backup. Yeah. Like, the list, you got to name who they went with as a starter. And that's why John Beck wins it to me. Although I looked up Tony Banks' stats. They're terrible. He weirdly went 8-6 in his 14 starts, but he completed 53% of his passes with 10 TDs and 10 picks. So not great, Bob. John Beck, though, that was such a weak. So for all of the hype around the Shanahans and their ability to run good offense, never forget, listeners, that Mike and Kyle Shanahan were content enough to go into an NFL season with John Beck as their starting quarterback. And didn't Shanahan have a crazy quote about, like, I'll stake my reputation to John Beck?
And Rex Grossman. They were kind of tied at the hip there. Actually, Grossman ended up starting and finishing the season. I think Beck only started 3 or 4 games.
He was so awful. He wouldn't throw the ball. You know what I mean?
No. He would throw it. Actually, yeah, he threw it to Roy Helu. That was his favorite target, gaining about 4 yards a pop there in the passing game.
Shanahan said of John Beck coming out of school, he was by far my number one guy. I think the world of him.
Mike Shanahan never lacks confidence.
Yeah,
especially when it comes to selecting quarterbacks. All right, we got very sidetracked very quickly.
That was kind of fun.
That was a little trip down terrible QB memory lane.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some good plays. 4 great games. We're not going to dive too far into it. Actually, not 4 great games. 1 incredible game. Saints-Vikes was awesome. Steelers-Jags was fun. I'm not sure if it was a great game, but it was fun to watch. The Pats rolling the Titans was a total dud.
Right.
Eagles-Falcons was a good game. A little too much referee nonsense for me.
I'll say it was a good finish.
Good finish. That's fair. The biggest news from that for Redskins fans, and Tandler, tell me when or where you disagree. Blake Bortles, and I wrote about this, so hopefully you guys all read it and commented and sent it to your parents on Facebook or something. But Blake Bortles and the Jaguars going up to Pittsburgh and beating the Steelers means that Kirk Cousins is no longer in a position where Jacksonville is going to be possibly coming after him this offseason. They're going to ride with Blake at this point. And in the article I wrote, I made a couple of points, but they've already got Bortles under contract for next year. It's only going to cost them $19 million. I know Blake has had some really bad games, but I don't know what he would cost on the open market. And they're going to keep him. The owner has already said it. He's got him in the AFC Championship game. And you can, and Tandler, maybe you will, we can talk about, you know, should QB wins, should team wins matter for a quarterback? And you can argue that either way, but winning that game in Pittsburgh, where Blake played good enough, I would say, I think Jacksonville is out of the market for a QB.
I will agree with you 95%.
Okay, yeah,
The thing that sticks in my mind is that $19 million salary. I mean, is Tom Coughlin going to look at that number and say, this guy is worth that money? And I think that almost any objective, unless it goes to the Super Bowl, you know, I'm assuming, you know, let's say they lose to the Patriots this week. Let's say they're even respectable against the Patriots. It's hard for me to say Tom Coughlin will look at that $19 million and say, yeah, we're good with that. Now, then you go through.
I don't know, man.
Negotiation, you go through it. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that
Tandler,
is, that
Mike
is,
Glennon got
$20 million.
Mike Glennon
wasn't worth a damn.
But the market is wild. Who are you going to get? So you think Bortles isn't worth 19, but Cousins is worth 28?
I don't know if he's. I don't know if Cousins is worth 28, but I don't know.
What's it going to take to sign him on the free agent market?
I don't know. Maybe who?
Cousins.
Well, probably, yeah, 28 is probably about right. I don't know if he's worth it, but that's what it's
But that's so, what I'm okay. saying. Like, if Coughlin's right. weighing, hey, man, I don't know that Bortles is worth 19, and you can absolutely argue that Bortles is not worth 19 a year, but you got to consider who are you going to get otherwise. And
well, I would 10 times rather have Cousins on a long-term deal averaging 28 than I would Blake Bortles for 1 year at 19.
Sure.
Yes, I certainly would.
Okay, I think that's fair. I don't know that it'll work out that way.
I know, that's why I'm 95% agreeing that
right.
yes, well, that's the scenario that will happen.
Well, and if you read what I wrote, I said, you know, you got to allow some. Like, could the Jaguars still go after Kirk? Of course, that could still happen. But I think it's much, much less likely now that they've had this level of success. And honestly, for what that team's built to do, Blake did pretty well. I mean, they want to, you know, here's the other thing is they don't have a ton of room. Now, sure, they'd get some if they released Blake, but they got $111 million committed on the defensive side of the ball. And a lot of those are young guys who they're probably going to try to lock up. I mean, you don't want to let guys like Bouye, Ramsey, and Ngakoue, you know, they did pay to bring in some older talent, specifically Calais Campbell. But, like, you want to get those young guys locked up as soon as you can because they're stars.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, I guess, you know, again, Tom Coughlin, is he going to say, okay, is this repeatable with this quarterback? Can this, you know, is this just something we can roll out, this essentially the same team, I guess, next year, maybe add a receiver or something?
Yeah, or, I mean, you got to remember, too.
You know, we can do this again.
But we talk about all the weapons Kirk lost this year, and it was significant. Bortles lost Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, you know what I mean? Like, he lost his top two wideouts. But, RT, I don't know if you've looked at his numbers this season. He completed 60% of his passes, 3,700 passing yards, 21 TDs, 13 picks. You know, in 2018 NFL, that ain't bad, man. That's well, not the QB abyss that we've seen Blaine Gabbert and Brock Osweiler, you know what I mean? Like, if Denver had Blake Bortles this year, they might have been a playoff team.
Bortles was he was inconsistent.
He had some terrible games.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
If you look at his game log, dude threw 5 interceptions the last 2 games of the year. Like, this is just wild. So week 15 and 16, he threw 5 picks against 2 touchdowns. They 2 bad losses. They lost to the Niners. They lost to the Titans. He completed in week 17, he completed 44% of his passes and had 2 interceptions. That's terrible. But
right.
But go back to, how about the game he had against Seattle? He completed 67% of his passes for 270 and 2 touchdowns. You know, the guy's all over against Indy, he completed 75% of his passes for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. It's a roller coaster ride with Blake. That much is certain.
Yes.
Okay.
So is that worth $19 million? I don't think so.
Man, Mike Glennon got 15.
That doesn't mean they won't pay it.
I think.
Okay, you know what? If they can talk Blake down to 15, that's fine.
Dude, if Mike Glennon's worth 15, then Blake's worth 19.
But Glenn, he proved he's not worth 15.
But Taylor,
the job for 10 minutes.
It's the same debate that the Redskins have had with Kirk for 2 years now. It's not what you and I think he's worth. It's what the market will pay. Establishes
right. Something tells me Tom Coughlin will look at that more rationally than will than the Redskins would.
What do you mean?
That Tom Coughlin will take a look at and, you know, actually value the player properly instead of,
oh, just, so,
you know.
And the Skins have not yet, I guess?
No.
Even with the legitimate offer last year?
Yeah, but that was still kind of a...
It was the absolute lowest offer. Legitimate offer they could make.
Yes. And it's not.
But I thought you're on the record as saying Cousins isn't worth 28 either.
I don't, he's probably not, but that's what it's going to take to keep. I guess the real question is, do you overpay?
So you won't overpay for Blake, but maybe you overpay for Kirk.
If I'm I'm saying, will Tom Coughlin do that?
Right. But you're not making a prediction. You're just saying that's the wiggle room that maybe they don't keep Bortles.
Yeah, at this point here on January, whatever, 15th.
Yeah, that's a fair. I mean, yeah. Pete's nodding his head. I'm not sure why. All right. From this conversation, I want to, Taylor, you wrote something I found really interesting about the four quarterbacks that are going to be playing on Championship Sunday. One of whom is arguably the best ever. The other three are some dudes. So I want to break into that. I want you to explain what you're trying to say and what that maybe means for the Redskins and Kirk Cousins. Real quick word from our sponsors.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, so there, over the last couple of days, and I think a lot of this started from John Riggins' suggestion that the Redskins would be better off just overloading spending on the defensive side of the football, getting their defense really good, getting them to be a, you know, Jaguars-level defense. And I think it's important to point out that you can't only do that through free agency. You got to hit on some really good draft picks to make that happen. But whatever, for the sake of the discussion, there are folks that want to punt on quarterback, spend on defense, and the argument there is, hey, look at the AFC and NFC championship game. Obviously, you've got Tom Brady, who's incredible, and who's a guy that doesn't max out what he could be paid by the Patriots. But then you got Blake Bortles, who we've discussed plenty. You got Case Keenum, and you got Nick Foles, and that's a pretty weird situation because Carson Wentz is their star who got hurt. Taylor, you wrote about this. I'm turning it over to you.
Okay. Well, you know, I got a lot of tweets and saw a lot of tweets out there. Let me read this one from Shane Donahue, directed towards me and a few other folks. So we have Bortles, Foles, and Keenum as a three of the four quarterbacks in championship weekend. Why exactly should the Redskins pay Kirk Cousins? And, you know, yeah, you look at this one year, it 2018 playoffs, 2017 season playoffs, and you might be able to make that case. But if you make that leap in logic, you're assuming two things. I didn't deal with this from the article. Let me get that out of the way first. You're assuming that this Redskins management group can actually build a defense through free agency, which, as we've seen over the years, is very, very tough to do, not just with, particularly with the Redskins, but also with many other teams that have tried it. Jacksonville has been successful. They got three major guys in Campbell, Malik Jackson, and A.J. Boye. If you're assuming that this group can actually build a top five defense. Okay, but that's not the point of the article. The point in the article is you can't just look at one year and say, hey, we have, you know, two quarterbacks, Foles and Keenum were available on the open market in March. You could have had them Foles signed for $1 million, Keenum for $2 million, and anybody could have had them. But you know, you look back, you know, going as far back as last year, I looked at the last 6 years. You can go back further, we get similar results. There's an outlier here and there, but. You have, okay, just look at last year. I'll go read through. Last year, final four quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger. Three number one. Brady is, you know, obviously, he's the outlier to everything when it comes to draft and what he makes. 2015, Cam, Peyton Manning, Carson Palmer. 2014, Wilson, Rogers, Brady, Andrew Luck. You go down the list further, but you can read the article. There's 13 different quarterbacks who have started in the Final Four in the last 6 years. 10 of them are true franchise quarterbacks. Then you have a Colin Kaepernick, who was hot for a while. Joe Flacco, jury's been out on him for a number of years. And Alex Smith, who was a number one overall pick. So you can't just look at 1 year and say, hey, look, you know, forget everything you've learned, forget everything you've seen for the last 6 years, and again, going further back, and just say, hey, you can go with a JAG quarterback, pick some guy off the street, have a good defense, and you'll be fine. I think you're looking, it's just a simple matter of looking at too small a sample size.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I don't think this should serve as the model. I also think Nick Foles doesn't really fall into the equation fairly because he's the backup that only got put in late in the year.
The Eagles should not be playing that game at home with a bye week if Nick Foles had been their quarterback all season.
And Case Keenum hasn't been playing like normal Case Keenum. He's actually played like a good quarterback, so you can't say, oh, the Vikings got through with average quarterback play when he's been at least above average.
He's been good, dude. He hasn't just been above average.
So that strikes down two out of the four right there. Brady's the third, and then, yeah.
Well, but I do think there's an argument towards... you mentioned Russ Wilson in there. He's a third rounder, right?
Fourth? No, third. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks for the non-correction correction. It's just tricky because a lot of those you reference, Rodgers, Brady, obviously Breeze. I mean, there's only going to be – the truth of the matter is there's only going to be four or five really elite QBs over time. You know,
by definition.
Right, and so there's got to be another way, because what happens if you don't have one of those guys? And basically, most folks don't have him.
I tell you what, when next time you see Charlie Casserly in the building, ask him. So if you don't have one of those guys, you try to get one. You know, that's your. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything.
Right, I'm with you, but
that's something I've heard him say 1,000 times.
It is unique, though.
And by
though.
Quarterback, he doesn't mean Nick Foles.
Right.
Keenum.
But dude,
he means an actual legitimate franchise quarterback.
So to that point, does your article make you believe the Redskins have to keep Kirk at all costs?
No. Again, I think there is a line. I don't think that they can let Kirk go because of the price tag, or A, I would say B, I don't think he wants to stay, and I don't think anything will get him
right.
to sign on the line to go long term. So it's kind of one of those arguments that you get into: should he keep him, should he not? Well, if he doesn't want to stay, then it's kind of a moot argument.
You know, it's crazy because you and I are spending so much time analyzing Kirk: will he stay? Won't he stay? Will they let him go? And I still believe he won't sign long term here. And they're going to use a tag on him, and he'll be here in 2018. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's possible. That's not what I think. If they transition tag him, he's gone.
But, offer sheet elsewhere and let the Skins have the opportunity to match it?
Depends on what the offer sheet looks like. I think there, you could also do a transition tag and trade that I think can work. I think you can work that out.
I think for the Skins at this point, it's really hard to do. It's a long shot, and we can question if the Skins front office could pull it off. But I think a tag and trade is the best option. I don't think Kirk wants to be here. Losing him with no compensation is just a train wreck for the organization, and they should try like hell to make something work going forward. I thought of this too, Chandler. What would you rather have in 2018? And not beyond 2018. Hell, maybe beyond 2018. Listen to this. And I don't know how feasible this is, but I kind of think it's feasible. Would you rather have Kirk Cousins in 2018? Or would you rather have Colt McCoy, Josh Allen, and Sam Bradford in 2018?
Well,
and for 2018 through, what's a rookie deal? Assuming they get Allen at 13, a rookie deal will be at least 4 years, right? So you're talking 2018 through 2022. And assume maybe you can get a long-term with Kirk.
Then the option year.
So right.
Five-year deal.
But let's say he sucks. You know what I mean? So they're not picking up the option.
Gee, that would be very Redskins.
Jeez. No, they pick up the option when the guy does suck. That's what they do.
Right, that's true. anyway, I would rather have Cousins.
Okay.
If long-term, I would rather have Cousins on long-term than I would that bag of unknowns there.
And I agree with you. To be clear, I think Kirk has shown what he can do. He's thrown for 4K three straight years. There's a lot of value in that. But I do think if they have Colt and they sign a veteran, a guy like Bradford on a 1 year, maybe 2 year, and then they draft a QB, maybe it's not Josh Allen, maybe it's Mason Rudolph. There's a lot of QBs that are going to make names over the next 2 months.
If Kirk is not an option, I don't think that's a bad group to go with.
Yeah. Well, we shall see, RT. Tell the people what to do, Rich.
Well, listen, which you're obviously already doing if you got to this point. Subscribe. You know, it's very easy to do. Just hit the subscribe button wherever you're downloading this or listening to this. And leave some reviews.
Leave some reviews. 150 gets a party. It's that simple. Tanner, did you do anything fun over the weekend, man? Drink any IPAs?
I didn't, no. What did I do? I didn't leave the house on Saturday. And
big
didn't
day.
Leave much on Sunday. Yeah, it's a big day. I watched football and hung around.
Pete, did you do anything fun?
I went out and watched the Patriots game at a kind of Patriots bar and had a 4,000 calories worth of food, and then Sunday I didn't leave the house.
Why would you go to a Pats bar? That's
like
the last thing.
It was an unintentional mistake, and then I started rooting for the Titans pretty loudly, and that only lasts 5 minutes.
Yeah, but you weren't yelling much. Much to really.
It was like I would get excited when Tom Brady missed an open receiver. I'd be like, yeah, that's right. And then this guy in a Gronk jersey would glare at me, and it wasn't fun.
Pats are so good. You're definitely the back down kind of nerd.
Yeah,
when
I would,
dudes at bars come at you.
If someone heard me doing that, I would point and be like, no, it was somebody else. It wasn't me. I'm a Patriots fan, man. Go Pats. Love Brady.
You're such a geek.
JP, it looks like you had a good weekend. You have a new pair of shoes on that look really nice.
Dude, I got some fresh sneakers. I like them very much.
Did you order those yourself, or is that somebody hooking you up?
I ordered these. Yo, I got these for $45 on Finish Line. I posted them on my Instagram story. I don't know if that's still
alive.
That's
where I saw them, and I'm glad.
Feel free to check that out. Yo, follow me on Instagram, at JPFinley3.
JP's trying to get his followers up, and I interrupted that plug, JPFinley3.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram. I'm liking Instagram. It's fun.
Yeah, JP's putting his hustling on Instagram. You guys need to reward him.
I got to meet Slick Rick Friday night, which was incredibly cool.
Stop looking at me like I care.
Shut up for a second. I'm gonna mute your mic. I was wondering who would know him more, Tanler or Pete. I think Pete has a better chance because there's zero chance you know him, right, Tanler?
No.
Rick the Ruler. No. Pete, any idea?
I know he's a rapper. I haven't heard any of his work.
Have you ever?
I know Rick Ross, not Slick Rick.
Oh, jeez, dude. Have you ever heard Snoop when he did Lottie Dottie?
Me?
No, not you, Tanner. All right, we're done here. That was a fun, fun talk.
That deteriorated. Good podcast deteriorated quickly here.
All right. Everybody, thank you for listening. Pete, see if you can put Children's Story on the back end of this podcast. I bet you can't. That's probably illegal.
Yeah.
So if you're a lawyer, don't listen to this part. How about this? Everybody, pull up on YouTube Children's Story. It's just a tremendous, fantastic
And
song.
JP's Instagram page.
All right.
Give him a follow.
Thank you for listening, everybody. If you made it this far, we owe you a beer.